2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox
Podcast.
Sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find bags more to get you through the week at Maxall.
Now, we all know holidays can work out really expensive. Like from the cost of the flights to the accommodation, then there's getting around, and don't get me started on the food and drink. And when you add it all up, it can drain the bank balance fairly quickly. But I am joined by somebody right now who says that we can travel very well for less if we do our homework. She's the queen of bougie on a budget traveling, and she is here with her tips. Ali Dunworth, good morning.
Good morning, Lottie. How are you?
I've been saying it since the show started this morning that I was dying for this, because I'm mad to get the tips. To just, every little helps, yeah. I think, when you're trying to save.
Yeah.
And with you, the biggest tip, I think, is research.
Yeah. Now, I have the benefit that I love research. So I know it's not everyone's cup of tea, but I think that's, it sounds really obvious, but that's how you save money. And I'm always happy to take control. If I'm going away with someone or going away with a group, I'll happily like begin the research straight away.
Okay. So yeah. you're the group leader of sometimes, the holiday booking?
Sometimes. Yeah, it depends on the group. Now, there's a few other people I let take the lead. It just depends on who you're going with.
So when you say research, that's like, it's a pretty broad word. What kind of things do you think people need to do their homework on?
I think like the first thing is flights.
Okay,
like,
let's talk flights.
Like flights are obviously your main thing. You need to get somewhere. And something happened recently. We decided to go, four of us were in a WhatsApp, and like straight away, let's book the flights, because the book the flights earlier, obviously you're going to save money. That's the big tip. And if you're one of those people that waits and everyone else has their cheap flights booked, it's very annoying, because you know it can be like, especially with like, if you're going Ryanair or one of the budget ones, it can jump up by 3 or 4 times. But like research wise, obviously look at the websites. I use Skyscanner, I use Google Flights, I use Kayak. Like, do use the price comparison websites, because they're really helpful. I also think looking at where you're flying to, you could fly out of different airports might be cheaper. Like if you're going long haul, I've done a couple of times, if I'm going to like Australia and New Zealand, I'll book out of London and then book a flight over to London, and it can work out like hundreds cheaper.
Hundreds?
Yeah. I did that a few years ago. I was flying to Australia and it was maybe €400 cheaper to fly out of London. Plus I booked a British Airways, so I got my Avios points, and then I had £100 or something to spend on Aer Lingus.
Oh, that's amazing.
So, but you have to want to like really research. And another thing is like, don't automatically book your outgoing and your return with the same airline.
Okay, so this is a big one for me, because yeah. I do this and it's pure laziness, yeah. really, if I'm being honest, because I don't want to have to do the research.
Yeah.
But so out of laziness, and I did it recently, I booked return flights to Italy, and looking back now, I probably could have saved a good bit of money if I had just booked the outgoing flight with one airline and then the incoming flight with a different one.
Yeah, and like you'll see it especially with flights to say like London. Like I go to London a lot, and often you're going to get different flights. Now, I always say remember to check the airports, because you might fly into Gatwick and go out of Stansted and remember to go to the different airports.
Oh, disaster.
Yeah. But I think in Ireland, like, you know, if you're looking only from flights out of here for long haul, you might be restricting yourself. Like I know my auntie booked recently to America via Iceland, and they had a stopover there for a few hours. I've flown to New York through Iceland before, and it was super cheap.
Wow.
So like you have to want to research, but like I really enjoy it. I'm taking screen grabs, I'm taking notes. Sometimes, say if you're going a long flight like Etihad or Emirates, if you find a cheap flight on a price comparison and email it to them, they'll price match for you. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so sometimes if they have that offer and says we were price match, like you just have to dig.
You have to dig. And yeah. Another thing I'm really interested in is the checking out public transport, because again, and this is just me being lazy, a lot of the times that I arrive in a different country, I will just like hop in a taxi to get where I'm going. But realistically, it's probably not the best option.
No, and you have to research where you're going, because I think in Ireland, like we don't have good public transport to our airports. So we're so used to getting to and from with a taxi. So you don't always think of public transport. But say somewhere like Italy, where the trains are so cheap. And if you get a taxi, you know, you're going into Rome, it might take you ages, the traffic is terrible, and the train is like a couple of euro. Like it's crazy.
Like literally a couple of euro. You could be getting into a taxi and spending 60 quid to get where you're going, or you could walk 10 feet to get on the train for €3 or €4.
The first time I did that in Italy with my friend, he was like, this is a mistake. We're going to get fined. This is the wrong ticket, because it was like €5 instead of like a €50 taxi. So I think you always have to research. And it, yeah, it'll just make a big difference. And, you know, London's another one. You wouldn't get a taxi from any of the airports. But also don't take the most obvious. If there's like an airport express or something, there's probably actually a train. Like if there's a train line there, there's probably a normal cheaper train that doesn't take too much longer. And that's definitely true in London.
So research, research, research. Yeah. Let's talk about booking sites when it comes to accommodation. How do you feel about them? Or do you go like straight to the accommodation itself?
No, I always start with booking.com just because they seem to have like everything on it.
Okay.
And Google Hotels has other ones. So they're both good. But like it's how you search. So don't just go on booking.com and say like, I'm going to Bangkok these days. Like use your search functions. So like I always want them to have like an 8.5 score or above, and you can search by maps. You can find the area that you want to go in, and always check the reviews because there's so many fake reviews. So you might go somewhere and it might have like a 9 score out of 10, but there's 5 reviews and they're all from very similar accounts or wordings. And Airbnb the same, like they try, I think, to police their reviews, but I would be checking like all the reviews.
So what would your top tip be for spotting a fake review?
Just you can tell because they don't really, they might sound similar or they don't really have much detail, or the person who posted the review doesn't have any other reviews.
Oh, okay.
So sometimes it's quite obvious. But also if somewhere, like I always search worst reviews first, so you can read the worst things about the place. And sometimes the bad reviews, you can tell it's just someone who's difficult and it's not necessarily something that's wrong with the hotel. But I will use booking.com and then I will contact the hotel directly to see if you can get a better rate.
So would you contact the hotel directly to say to them, this is what I found elsewhere?
Yeah, it depends on the hotel, but you can definitely do that. And especially for the smaller ones, because booking.com take a percentage, so they want you to book through them. So you might be more inclined to get like a better room or to get a better deal if you book directly.
Oh,
you
wow.
kind of have to play around a little bit. It does involve a few emails and stuff. But I love to do this on like a Friday evening. I've got a glass of wine. I'm like, I'm going to spend a few hours doing my travel research.
I dream of having somebody like you in my travel group. Let's talk about restaurants, because it's one of my favourite things when travelling is to source out the good food and plan all the meals. That's what my job is on when we're travelling. So what would your tips be when it comes to eating out?
Well, I think that's a huge way of saving money as well. Like if you research before you go good places to eat, you're not going to end up in that tourist trap. I'm like, avoid squares and rooftops and tourist areas and anywhere that you feel like is the temple bar of wherever you are. Like, don't eat and drink there.
But I think the problem is a lot of people think that's where the atmosphere is.
I know, but I say, like, if you think that, have a drink there and then soak up the vibe, but go and eat.
Great idea.
Even if you haven't done your research, go 2 streets behind and eat, or have a drink and say to whoever's serving you, where do you eat? Because
the people who work
in hospitality, like, they know where to go. Like, I'll always do, my first port call will always be a really nice coffee shop, some kind of bougie coffee shop, and ask the people there, like, if they're making nice coffee, they're going to drink in nice wine bars and they're going to know the nice kind of, and they're going to be affordable places. Like, you can start research and, like, you know, you can look at listings and websites, but like getting it from people is the best. So if I'm going somewhere, I'll put it on my WhatsApp. So has anyone been to Paris? Has anyone been to Melbourne? Do you have a list? Make a little map. And then when you're walking around those cities, you have the places and the maps. You can be like, oh, I'm beside this, I'm beside that.
And ask the locals in terms of anything, even when it comes to shopping districts.
Yeah.
I find that if you go to those main really touristy areas, the things are so expensive. And then if you ask the locals, oh, where do you guys hang out and go shopping and where are the cool little shops? And they'll tell you.
Yeah.
It's
down
some side street or... And then it ends up being a little bit of a better real cultural experience.
Exactly. And I think when you base your travel around food, you're going to get... Like the food is culture in everywhere.
Absolutely.
You go. So if you're eating well and you're going to food markets, like you're going to get a real feel for where you are.
And I think, you know, obviously sometimes you want to do the fancy restaurant and you want to do... So I love your tip for how to make that work for you on a budget.
Yeah, because I always want to eat somewhere really nice if I'm... Especially if you're in a city that's really well known for the food. But like I'll sort of start search on the Michelin website. So you'll see your one stars, your two stars, but look at the Bib Gourmands. So they are given an award for like great food at an affordable price.
Wow.
So we did that recently in Nice and just ate in like Bib Gourmand restaurants and they were all fantastic. And my other tip is if you do want to go, like I've done this in Rome, gone somewhere for lunch instead of dinner. So
brilliant.
Like if you do
want
to go to a fancy fine dining, go for lunch instead of dinner. Or also, if you just want to get dressed up, go to a fancy hotel. Like I love if you're doing a budget travel and if you're staying somewhere kind of basic, which I do most of the time because you want to explore, I want to go to that place and have a drink on the rooftop or in a gorgeous, like a cocktail in the foyer or something. Like you can still take advantage of the fancy hotels without having to pay to stay in them.
What about getting around? Because it's a big thing when you're traveling to these cities and you want to be out all day, you want to go and see the places. Getting around can sometimes end up being the thing where you're going, Jesus, the amount I've spent just getting around this city today.
And that's where I'd say with your accommodation, like don't be fooled by staying out of town. Because if you stay somewhere walkable, and I like research the neighbourhoods and say, right, where do I want to stay? I was in Bangkok for, I think, 5 days on my own a few years ago. And like, I wanted to be somewhere that I felt safe and I could walk everywhere.
Okay.
So instead of staying out of town, I want to stay closer into town so you can walk everywhere. But like a lot of cities, I love hiring a bike, like cycling around somewhere, getting the city bikes. And most places have them. Like in LA, we did the scooters, the electric scooters, which was really fun.
The ones that you stand on.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And they're all, you know, a lot of them are on the apps now. So it'll be on the Uber app or whatever. So it's easy to use. You just have those apps on your phone and you can hire bikes or scooters or whatever you want. But I'd use the public transport and use bikes and just walk. Walking around is so good.
Walking is the best way to see any city, I think.
Yeah.
And let's talk about guidebooks. Growing up in my house, right, there was a shelf we had in the sitting room and it was literally city guidebooks.
Yeah.
And my dad, I swear to God, it was like the Bible of the holiday.
Yeah.
But I thought those days were gone.
Well, they kind of are, but not for me.
Okay.
So, like, I would have started traveling with a guidebook way back in the day. You'd have the Rough Guide or Lonely Planet. Now, they all still exist. And I love buying one or getting one from the library. Like, I think when I was going to LA a few years ago, but I wanted to see the touristy stuff and get a vibe for the city, I got the DK. You get like an eyewitness book. They're like the top 10 things to do.
Okay.
You get a map in there. It tells you about the public transport. Like you'll get all your basics in there. Like when you Google, it can just, my attention span sometimes, and it can just get boring and you're just getting the same sort of regurgitated stuff. And a lot of the time you're getting like AI travel advice now, which like is not great. So get the guidebook, but get it from the library if you don't want to buy it. And they have all of them. So you can just go on the library, search and reserve it to your place. So you might want to take it away with you, take all the pictures, stick it in your phone, or use the Borrow Box, which is the, you know, the library online, and you can just download it to your phone.
That's so handy.
And then you have it with you and you've got all your maps and everything.
And I also think this might be an obvious one, but for me, I just remember I was recently away on a little holiday city break in Paris, and I clocked up how much money I had spent buying bottles of water because I was walking around everywhere. I wanted to do everything on foot, and in hindsight I was like, if I had just bought my own bottle with me, the amount you would save. It seems like a silly thing, but if you think ahead and do those things, you end up saving about 50 quid.
And like the little things, like always pack a water bottle, always pack the adapters, because, you know, you forget your adapter and then you end up buying a really expensive one in the airport. Like there's all those little things. I just have travel bags ready to go, like little Ziploc bags with the different countries for the different adapters and like extra phone chargers and like all that
stuff.
Do
you want to come with me on my family holiday?
Where are we going?
Italy.
Yes.
Okay.
Love Italy.
Wonderful. Travel and food writer Ali Dunworth, thanks so much for the travel tips this morning. I think they're incredibly beneficial. I'd actually love to hear if you guys have any travel tips. 51552.
2FM Mornings.
With Laura Fox.
Podcast.
Sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find Bagsmore to get you through the week at Maxall.